Prophet Isaiah, a familiar statement which says, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations, and he will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. From Matthew 5, verse 9, this single beatitude, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons and daughters of God. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Father, do cause your gospel to come to us this day, not just in words, but in the Holy Spirit and with much persuasion, for Jesus' sake. Amen. The question, how do you even begin talking about peacemaking in a society that's so committed to violence? Some of you who know my career know that I'm almost paranoid at this point. The only time I have ever been assaulted coming out of the pulpit was after an assigned sermon topic I was given in Montreat on who is my neighbor. And I made a one-liner toward the end of that sermon. I went back and listened to it on the tape later on. And it went as follows, quote, who is my neighbor when we seriously consider the nuclear incineration of 100 million people in Russia, many of whom are our Christian brothers and sisters, end of quote. And an Air Force colonel met me at the foot of the pulpit stairs and told me that I was a disgrace to the church and to the nation, to Montreat, to everything, and then began to berate me there right in front. And I thought to myself later on, what did I say? What brought forth out of a whole sermon on who is my neighbor that kind of a reaction to that kind of a statement? And it occurred to me, as it has many times since then, that there is an idolatry of violence we have. And we say idols are something else, but whenever we begin to jostle our idols, we get angry about it. The cultural tide runs so swiftly among us in the direction of blazing guns and swift vengeance, so much us against them, that it's very hard to talk about peacemaking. There is a resistance here. Here is where we are conformed to the world. Romans, you know, says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And we have a great conformity here, all of us, much larger than just the matter of nuclear arms. But here, in the middle of this list of God bless yous, is the one that says, God bless you, makers of peace, for you are the family of God. It just doesn't compute with us in a setting where we have so uncritically buttressed violence with patriotism. Stand tall. Keep America strong. And you look at the newspapers, and it's just in the last couple of weeks, and you get here, you know, are a group of people who pretty much out of their Christian profession in Czechoslovakia engage in a nonviolent demonstration against violence, and they are crushed. An archbishop in Brazil speaks out on behalf of the kind of economic violence that is destroying his people, and he is shushed. You can listen to the candidates. Neither one of them would dare tamper with the whole matter of military strength. You know, even though we have 50,000 nuclear warheads and could destroy Russia many times over, still it's there, that kind of thing. You see, we're the folk who have been weaned on John Wayne, right? Matt Dillon on the macho. Or if you like economic and domestic violence, you look at Dynasty. Or if you're like me, you know, Betty and I are more refined. We like Equalizer. We're impeccably dressed, you know, with a British accent. You blow them away. And here it says, blessed are the peacemakers. They're the ones who find salvation. And they're the family of God. And we have to come to grips with that. I read for you the second chapter of Isaiah, which says, in the last days, they will beat their swords into plowshares, and neither will they learn war anymore, which says to us out of the mouth of the prophet, this is the desire of the living God for his creation, that they not study war anymore. Now, brothers and sisters, these Beatitudes, as we have been saying from week to week, talk of the character of God. They say what God is like and what he wills for the world. They speak to us of what it looks like to belong to him, to be his family. They tell us of the character of his kingdom. When we pray the prayer every Sunday, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, that looks like these Beatitudes. That's what it is when you flesh it out. So if it is very hard for us, near impossible for us, to hear this call to peacemaking, then we need to work on it if we're to be his children. Now, what are the parameters of peace? How many Bethel students in this congregation? Let me see your hand way up. Okay. Any Bethel student can tell you. Divine intention. Fourfold harmony. Right? Harmony with God. Harmony with yourself. Harmony with your brothers and sisters. And harmony with creation, with nature. Harmony. Shalom. Peace. There are your parameters. The fourfold peace are both personal, societal, cosmic. God created all things in harmony with himself. And it was into the brokenness, into the violence, that Jesus came to implement his radical shalom, to fulfill that Isaiah prophecy. Now, you and I are also, as his children, incarnate in this violence. We deal with it every day. There's a lot of self-destruction going on, isn't there? People not at peace with themselves, angry at themselves, destroying themselves. Did you ever stop and try to figure, after all the talk about stopping drugs coming into this country, why do people take drugs? What would cause a person to enter into this kind of destructive behavior, unless he was trying to destroy himself, herself, escape from something that was so wretched that they couldn't face it? Self-destruction all around us, psychological, emotional. There is spouse abuse. I don't talk about wife abuse because there are also, you know, wives that beat their husbands up. A lot of them. Husband just too timid to say much about it. There is domestic violence. We've had that in the news around here. We've got all the kind of child abuse. We have the kind of economic and corporate violence, the hostile takeovers, the environmental violence that we've seen in the news of late in Ohio and in Georgia, where you have radioactive emissions out of factories, Love Canal, all that sort of thing. And here we are with the word from our Lord Jesus Christ that says, blessed are you peacemakers. Blessed are you who implement shalom. Blessed are you who bring God's creation back into harmony with him and his divine intention. See, first of all, Jesus Christ came to make peace between us and God by the blood of his cross. He took all the violence into himself. He bore it on the cross. He paid the debt. He effected a reconciliation. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we have peace with God. So peace, first of all, with God, which, working itself out, brings us to peace with ourselves. We know who we are. We are the creatures of the God of all grace. Philippians, Paul says, we have a peace that passeth understanding, that keeps our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In ourselves, that shalom, accepting who we are as the creatures of God who were created to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And then there's peace with others. The fruit of the Spirit is peace, or peaceableness, or peacemaking. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but peace and joy and justice in the Holy Spirit. Jesus will teach even such irrational things to us as love your enemies. See, not, what was that, lie to your friends and hate your comrades that you sang about, Jerry? You know, but love your enemies. Do good to those who despitefully use you. The peacemaking in society, the reconciliation of human being with human being. Our elders and deacons were talking yesterday about the Confession of 1967 that came out of that whole period in this nation when everything was broken and torn. Civil rights, Vietnam, all that thing. And the United Presbyterian Church said, part of our gospel is reconciliation, peacemaking, bringing the disparate factors back together again in Jesus Christ. That's the church's witness. Now, don't ever get carried away on clouds of ease here. That kind of peacemaking is tough and it's costly. And there are ethical questions that are awesome, like the whole area of criminal justice and the death penalty. What do you do to bring about peace? I'm just raising that one to your attention. It's not an easy thing ethically. But then the fourth part of that peacemaking is the shalom in nature. It is that whole gift of stewardship that is given to us to oppose all of the kind of violence that goes on where we destroy God's good gifts. Blessed are the peacemakers is a very demanding calling to us. All kind of questions come up. Nations are given the power of the sword to implement justice. That's true. What are the limits of that? How is that power purposeful? Up until the Second World War, we had something of a doctrine of the just war. That war was legitimate if it had a legitimate cause and if non-combatants, innocent people, were not hurt. And then both sides began to escalate that, and the just war theory went out the window. And Germans bombed London, and we bombed Dresden, and then we bombed Hiroshima, and so it goes, so that our consciences have become scarred as a nation on that. And there are systems that destroy, economic systems that destroy. How do we protect life? And the tensions that we face day by day, we always stand between the solutions that lead to peace and the solutions that are violent. Brothers and sisters, God's invitation to us to be His children is a very radical invitation. He took the violence upon Himself on the cross. He invites us to turn from all of our fourfold violence toward God and self and others and creation, and to be the people of His peace, to be the people of His shalom in Jesus Christ, to become the instruments of His radical peace, to be ministers of reconciliation, to be fourfold peacemakers. Now, the whole Christian church is beginning to wake up out of a long time sleep and say to the violent world around us, hey, too much. It is enough. Catholic and Protestant, our denomination, the Presbyterian Church, among others, have begun once again singing the song of peace, questioning military solutions. And that does not go down easily in a culture like ours. In this particular congregation, we have assigned to our deacons who have the ministry of human compassion. One of the pieces of their responsibility is to keep us alert to what it means to be peacemakers. God's family is always called to nonviolence, to resist violence with nonviolence, and to be instruments of His peace. And I have just cracked the door, but at least I want us to know, as we look at this beatitude, that we are not to be conformed to this world in its violence, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And to Jesus Christ be all praise from our peacemaking lives. Amen.